This is WGTD-FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of education leadership at UW Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Manji for WGTD Gateway 91.1 HD, and this is Education Matters, a program that features people of Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, people who are making a difference, who are having a very positive effect on their respective communities, people who are practicing peace. We would like to thank President Brian Albrecht, our radio engineer, Troy McDonald, Dave Cole and Dave McGrath, program directors here at WGTD Gateway, for helping us produce this fine program. And thanks to you, all of our listeners, for tuning in every Saturday morning. You know, listening is a form of loving, and we really appreciate you sending love our way. So, this morning we are blessed, truly blessed, to have two wonderful people and teachers with us, Mrs. Terry Andrews, longtime master teacher at St. Therese, Durkee, Brass, and St. Mary's, and Deanna Rosina, a wonderful young person and teacher from Latvia, went to college in Riga, Latvia, and she joined our group a year ago and has been terrific. So both Terry and Deanna are teachers with Peace Learning Circles, and we're a nonprofit organization that teaches strategies, ways to practice peace, ways to prevent bullying, skill building with conflict resolution, teamwork, diversity, appreciation, mindfulness strategies, and much more. Mostly, we are teaching students how to focus, how to pay attention, how to listen and support their teachers, the teachers we've encountered so far at Greveno, Roosevelt, K-Tech East and West, and Brass, soon to be Epsola. We're in a lot of schools, and kids are great. The teachers are working so hard, and they need everybody's support. So, Terry and Deanna, first of all, thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. Terry, tell us your experiences as a teacher, longtime elementary school teacher. What are your fondest memories?
Good morning, everyone. I think the best thing, one of the things that we had when I first started teaching, naturally, new teachers are very nervous. Mm-hmm. We had no music teacher, no art teacher, and no Phi Ed teacher, which meant I had to take all the classes. Well, one of the classes happened to be we were going to do exercises with a ball. Everybody had to bring a ball, and we sat down and did exercises, stood up. This is the teamwork that we had. We had such precision. It was amazing. It was so great that we came to the PTA meeting, and all the parents were there, and we did it for them according to the music, and it was just wonderful. We did a lot of other things as teamwork, too. We did our singing. We did harmonizing. We did square dancing. And we did paper mache. Paper mache, oh my gosh, what a mess. Yeah, it was a mess, but it was sure fun because we sat right on the floor with newspapers all around us, and we had a lot of fun. There were so many neat things that we did in school. One of the things was the kids were asked, would you like to... This is a fifth-grade classroom. The kids were asked, would you like to go out to eat for your graduation? Because fifth grade was the oldest grade in the school. And the kids said, no, we don't want to go out. Instead, we'd rather have a talent show and invite our class, invite our parents and our grandparents. So that's exactly what we did. We had a talent show, and the kids put on either dances or songs. They practiced a good month before the graduation, and they practiced in our room It was during their lunch hour, so they gave up a lot of time, one and one and so on. It was a lot of fun to be able to do that. We also we had science projects, and we were talking about the biomes of our world. Each group in our class had to get a certain information about that biome. They had to gather it, they had to make pictures of it, and they had to present it to the class, which was wonderful. But it was so wonderful that we had to go beyond. So we invited every classroom individually to come into our class, and the kids were presenting to the small groups that were around. It was just wonderful. We did plays. I had middle school, and even the middle school loved it. We had poems that we did plays to. How could you do that? They loved it. We did a lot of poetry. In our poetry, we made menus. And our menus happened to have names of poems that would suffice for a certain area on the menu, such as the sandwich soup. Yes, that would be a good one for regular food. I also taught third grade, so far now I have middle school, fifth grade, and third grade. In third grade, we ended up doing a newspaper. They were very bright kids, and this was when computers just came out. So I'd copy on my computer the pages that they did, and we'd staple them together, and they got to read their newspaper. They wanted to sell them to the other students at school, and they would for a penny each.
That's pretty good.
Oh, they loved that. They just loved that.
Lemonade stand in the classroom, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, it had jokes in it also, which was great. It had cartoons in it, so everybody got a chance to do everything. This is the teamwork that we did, and it's been so much fun.
So, Peace Learning Circles. You're one of our leaders. Terry does the curriculum and all of the work to set up for each and every class. So what brings you joy with Peace Learning Circles?
Oh, the classrooms. They are so wonderful. I have to tell you something that just happened. There was a little girl who came to class, and she didn't want to talk. She didn't want to do anything. Her head was down. And I went up to and talked to her a little bit. And she went to another group, and the teacher talked to her a little bit along with the other kids. And we went on with our lessons, and her head came up a little bit more, and she seemed to open her eyes a little more. At the end of class, she came up to me. She put her arms around me, and she said, "Mrs. Andrews, I think you're the best teacher." What can teachers do when somebody says something like that to you?
Yeah.
How wonderful that is.
So, Deanna, your turn.
Okay.
Tell
good
us
morning,
about,
everyone.
Good morning. Tell us about your experiences with Peace Learning Circles. Deanna's one of our best teachers. She's just awesome in the classroom. Kids just glom onto her. So tell us what gives you joy with Peace Circles.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to say that I came last year. Mm-hmm. I volunteered. And I want you to see what is Peace Learning Circles and what is this about. And I really liked what I saw, and I decided to be a part of the program. Mm-hmm. I could relate to all peace mentors, especially to Mother Teresa, because I think her quote, "Peace begins with a smile," is very special, and it really touches my heart. And I really like to see how children smile when I read about Mother Teresa's life, and at the end when I say, "Okay, now can you say something cool that she said?" And everybody says, "Peace begins with a smile." And everybody smiles. It's my favorite part of our PLC workshops.
So can you tell us the story of the student?
Yes. It's also related to Mother Teresa. Last year, one of the children came to me and said, "Oh, are you a nun?" And I said, "No, why would you think that?" And the boy said, "Well, because you're from Eastern Europe, the same area where Mother Teresa is from, and you speak different languages, and I just thought maybe you could be a nun too." And I had to explain that, no, I'm not a nun. I'm a teacher for PLC.
Okay.
Another thing I want to say is that children are really, really curious about my accent. And every single time when I go in a classroom, they always ask me, how many languages do I speak and where I'm from. And it's really interesting for them to find out how can I say different things in Latvian or Russian language.
So you know you're fluent in three languages.
Correct.
Latvian, Russian, and English. So can you say I am a teacher in Russian?
Yes. Я учительница.
Okay. How about Latvian?
Es esmu skolotāja.
Wow. This just boggles my mind. This is great. So Deanna starts off each lesson with a series of really innovative strategies. Can you tell us about the light bulb strategy that you teach and the kindness note mailbox and the peace bundles?
Yes, sure. First thing, before I talk about levitating light bulb, I have some bunch of wooden sticks in my hands, and I usually ask children, what do you think, what is this, and why do I hold it in my hands? And kids, children look at me and they're like, we don't know really. So my next question I ask them, I take one stick and I explain that. Imagine that's you, and you're working alone on your own. You don't have any support or help. What can help with you if you're on your own? You can break easily. And then
the stick snaps.
Yes, correct. And then I explain them that if you work together as a team, you are unbreakable. Mm-hmm. And this is what is about that bunch of the wooden sticks. It's kind of working together as a team. Levitating light bulb, I think it's really interesting for them. They never saw that before. I always get so many questions. Why is this? What's the magic? What's the trick? And I compare a levitating light bulb to teacher, because teacher is shiny and bright with her all skills and knowledge, just like this levitating light bulb. And I explain them that they have to try their best to be good students, to pay attention, to focus, and to listen to their teachers. As long as they do that, levitating light bulb will not crash. That's the trick.
Okay. And so when the teacher is shining and the light bulb is lit up, the light bulb, everyone, is off the table. It's in the midair. And the kids are really in awe of how did that happen? What did we do it? Well, it's reverse magnets. Some kids know, you know, two North Poles or two South Poles. But at any rate, when the teacher is happy and shining and everybody's paying attention to her, giving them her or him their positive energy, she can be a whiz-bang teacher and teach anything. So then the light bulb does what? It
spins around.
Yeah, it spins around. And when the teacher is at full force and it's spinning around, she's so happy that the light bulb does what?
She can dance.
It dances. So all of this is in midair. And our workshops are 2 hours long, everybody, and the light bulb's in the air for the whole 2 hours.
Correct.
And we've gotten into real trouble the last two of the last four classes, because when the bell rings and everybody's supposed to line up and go on to their next class, kids are hovering around the table and asking 100 questions about the light bulb. And so where was it? It was one of the schools where the teacher gave me the evil eye and don't let me use my teacher voice the second week of school. You guys are supposed to line up. But they're so curious. Kids are so curious at the elementary level. And so we work off of curiosity. So tell us about the kindness note mailbox.
It's an appreciation box. It has some notes inside, and it says, "Today I am thankful." For what? What are you thankful for? And I usually say, children, think about what you are grateful or thankful today, or just in general about something. And then they have to write it down on a note and put inside in the box. And at the end of the day, the teacher can take the notes out and she can read what her students are thankful for.
So it's teaching students a strategy, a practice, a habit of being thankful. So parents, you can use this at home too. So where this originated, a teacher in Indiana, the principal walked in to evaluate the teacher and to observe and noticed on one of the classroom walls there must have been 150 post-it notes. So what the teacher had asked her students to do every day at the end of the day, I want you to write down one thing that you're thankful for that happened today. And so this kept going and going and going, and the principal was so impressed. The next day she got on the intercom, gave all the teachers post-it notes, and said, we're going to put all of these notes up on the corridor wall as when people enter the school. Within 3 weeks, there's 10,000 notes from one end of the corridor to the other. It got so much attention that Lester Holt of NBC shows up with his camera crew, and they were so impressed, so blown away by this practice that they put it at the end of their 5:30 news program about good things around the country. So it's a really good practice for teachers and schools and principals. Uh-huh. And parents, you could use it at home. At the dinner table, just ask your sons and daughters, your kids, okay, give me one thing that you're thankful for that happened today. Have them write it down on a post-it note and put a place in the hallway or the kitchen or wherever the family meets and greets, and see how many notes you can get up there, teaching kids to be grateful and thankful for what they're learning. It's a very positive
Actually,
way of looking at things.
Actually, I want to share something, too. Mm-hmm. Every night before I go to sleep, on my phone, I write down notes also. Mm-hmm. But I usually think about five good things I do every day. It can be anything, even like cleaning, cooking, taking dog outside for a walk, because each thing you do is a part of your life, big mm-hmm. life, even if it's a small thing.
I've been keeping a journal for maybe 30 or 40 years, and it's at my bedside under the light, and one good thing that happened to me today. When I was principal at Bradford, I had all the teachers do this to remain positive, because teaching is challenging. And so I was coming out of school after hours. It was like 5 o'clock, and here's our Spanish teacher, Marguerite Conrad, and we are walking out together. And I said, so, Marguerite, you know, I worry that you're here too long. School ended at 3 o'clock. You know, I get that you'd be here till 4, but it's 5 o'clock. I said, so, can you give me one good thing that happened today? She said, Joe, I did not have a good day, but I'll tell you one good thing. You know what? At breakfast, my fork worked. Everything went downhill from there. So I thought, wow, her fork worked. I mean, if that's all that is good, but at least it's one thing. You know, I guess we should be appreciative of our spoons and forks and knives that they actually work. But do you have those days where... So, Terry, one thing you're thankful for about Peace Learning Circles.
Well, I think I'm very thankful for the people that are in Peace Learning Circles. They have given me so many ideas on new ways to teach, new things to do. And I think every teacher around needs new ideas always, because mm-hmm. otherwise they're going to get bored. So they are fantastic people. I feel like we're family.
What are you grateful for about Peace Learning Circles, Deanna?
I am grateful that I can teach children. Mm-hmm. And it's really special for me when they sit around me and they look at me and they listen how I teach them.
So can you tell us a little bit about growing up in Latvia? I know you went to college in Riga, the capital city, right?
I did.
And you got your architectural design degree. So how is education different in Latvia than here?
Okay, so I did go to college, and I spent 3 years in college. It's a full-time studies. And right away, actually 2 weeks later, I came to U.S. through an exchange program. Mm-hmm. And I came original only for 2 years. But it happened to me that I met my husband, I got married, and I stayed for good in America.
Where did you meet your husband?
I was living and working in Mississippi, mm-hmm. and he was working for Mississippi State University, and we met in college.
Okay.
I was taking my ESL classes, English as a Second Language.
Sure.
And first time in my life, I decided to go to see a football game, and that's how we met.
Oh, that's right, because they don't have football, our version of football in Latvia.
We don't have American football.
But you have soccer, right?
Yes, correct. But it's completely different. It's different from American football.
Well, yeah, you call it football, right?
Football, yes, correct.
Yeah, so Latvian education, how is it different from us?
Okay, well, there are a lot of different things in education. For instance, children don't have to go to preschool unless parents think that their child is not ready enough for first grade. Mm-hmm. Elementary school in Latvia is grades 1 to 4. Middle school is 5 to 9. And high school, which is known as secondary school, is 10, 11, and 12. Mm-hmm. Each school has about 3 classes per each grade. The size of class can be 20, 25, or 30 students, depends on. Children with special needs are educated separately because we don't have special education teachers. Mm-hmm. They have to go in separate schools to get education.
When did you start learning Russian and English?
Well, Latvian and Russian I knew. English I had to start learning in elementary school. That's another different thing. We must learn Latvian for sure in elementary school. Then first foreign language usually is English. Mm-hmm. But then in elementary school, we have to learn additional foreign language, which can be Russian, German, or French. Depends on school.
That's way different from here.
So we need to know for sure, we have to learn for sure 3 languages. Sometimes in high school, you have to learn 4th language, but you have a choice to have more math classes or chemistry or to learn an additional language. It's your own choice.
I think that's amazing. I know Janesville has a program starting with first grade that students are tracked. They get to choose either Spanish or Mandarin Chinese. So when they graduate 12 years later, they will have had 12 years of Spanish or Mandarin Chinese. Personally, I think that is so important. And I know all my years at Bradford, we started out with 3 world language teachers, and we ended up with 12, 13, 14, because it was just so important. And we were the ones that added Italian as an extra language. And Italian, it took off like a rocket, and we ended up with, we had so many classes, we had two teachers teaching Italian at Bradford Tremper and then at Indian Trail. Everybody had 2. So that's interesting that this starts at first grade. You're learning English first.
First grade, you learn 2 languages. In a 3rd grade elementary school, you learn additional foreign language.
What did you learn in middle school? What was the...
In middle school, I had 3 languages, Latvian, Russian, English. Mm-hmm. In high school, I had a choice between French or math classes, mm-hmm. and I decided I would prefer to just to have more math classes.
Okay, that's interesting.
So that's why I speak only 3 languages, not 4.
So your degree at Riga, University of Riga?
Riga Building College.
Okay, so what did that prepare you to do? What was your major?
I got a degree in architecture.
So you can build buildings.
I could, yeah.
Wow. Your design skills, because Deanna designs our brochures and all kinds of things, are off the charts, amazing. What did you study at Mississippi?
I had only English classes, English as a second language, because I came through an exchange program. Mm-hmm. I had to stay with a family to help with children. That was my another experience, working with children, helping them with the homework, and just understanding different ages, mm-hmm. because children I worked with, they were from 3 years old to 16 years old.
Mm-hmm. Deanna and I had an interesting conversation about diet and the foods that you eat. And so Deanna will not eat any sugar.
Correct.
And so I'm trying to be more health conscious and cutting back on sugar. Deanna's proud of me because I gave up drinking all Cokes, no Cokes, Pepsis, you know, I drink iced tea instead. So I'm a work in progress. But what is the diet in Latvia?
It's completely different from American food. For example, For breakfast, we usually have oatmeal or sandwiches, which in America, sandwich is a lunch.
What kind of sandwiches?
Any kind sandwich. You just can have bread, butter, you can put cheese, sausage, ham. I mean, you just make your own decision of what you prefer.
Do you drink coffee or tea?
I personally don't drink coffee, but Latvians can drink coffee or tea.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's breakfast.
That's breakfast, which is American lunch.
So what do you eat for lunch?
For lunch, we usually have for sure soup, and then second meal, which can be a little bit of salad, protein, fish or meat, and carbos, some kind of grain rice or buckwheat or pasta, potatoes.
Mm-hmm. What kind of soups?
Vegetable soup, milk with pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken dumplings we have too, mm-hmm. Creamy soups.
I never heard of milk soup with pasta.
It wasn't my favorite soup.
What is that?
It's just a milk and there is pasta.
Oh.
Not noodles, but pasta.
Rigatoni, gnocchi.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Yeah. Milk soup. What do you eat for dinner?
For dinner can be salad. Can be spaghetti, mm-hmm. Can be maybe sometimes even pizza. Dinner is your own choice. It's something you just decide what you would like to eat.
So it sounds like lunch is the main meal.
Always, yes.
Oh, that's different.
Yes.
And
it's always soup and it's always second meal.
And you should see Deanna. She's not a big person. But when I go out to lunch with her, it is totally amazing. She has a huge salad and a big bowl of soup, and I get one bowl of soup. She's finished with both of those before I finish my soup.
30, 30, 30.
So that's interesting. So do you guys eat desserts at all? Do you have pies and ice cream?
Yes,
or?
Yes.
So
it can
what
be a
kind
snack.
Of pies
it can
do
be
you?
A snack. Usually it's a snack between lunch and dinner.
Okay. Like what's the snack? Apples?
Apple,
pomegranates? What do you?
Apple or fruit or berries. Or pie.
What kind of pies do you guys eat?
Apple pies, mm-hmm. Fruit pies. It's very similar to American. There is not a big difference. We have even cheesecakes. We have even pumpkins. I think America has a big influence on Eastern European countries with the desserts.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do instead of sugar in any of the pies? Because that's what we always use. What do you put in instead?
Honey. I can use honey if I bake on my own.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Is there a Latvian ice cream?
Yes. I also want to say that our sugar is different. We have a beet sugar.
Okay.
Which is made from sweet beets.
Oh, that's interesting. So what's the weather like in Latvia? Was there an adjustment?
Very similar to Wisconsin weather, except in the summertime it's not that hot. Mm-hmm. In the wintertime it's not that cold.
Okay, so is Latvia... Is it a mountainous country or forests and trees? What is
forests
it?
Forests and trees.
Mm-hmm. Lots of rivers and creeks?
Yes,
and
lakes.
Okay. All right. So that's interesting. So, Terry, do you have a story for us from Peace Learning Circles?
Well, I can tell you a little one. I remember one time we were teaching middle school. Peace Learning Circles were teaching middle school students grades 5, 6th, and 7th in Racine. And we do a peace rap that starts out with,
"The only thing controlled by you is what you say and what you do."
And we turn that into a rap, and that's fine, and the kids love it as a rap. But all of a sudden, we happen to have two or three different boys go to the middle of the circle, and they started rapping to the music and dancing to the music. And that just felt so good because you knew that saying got inside of them and they were really feeling it. So I think that's one story that I really appreciate.
I remember that. There was so much joy. We try to be the Peace Beatles. Troy's laughing at us. We all wear bright blue T-shirts with "Peace Begins in the Heart." And it has to be on the left side because we learned from our emergency room nurse, Kathy Karabetsis, that your heart is on your left side. In fact, I think the scouts always shake hands with their left hand because it's closest to their heart. So, Deanna, a funny story or you'd like to share from Peace Circles? Okay, so, well, I have one. The other day we were at one of the schools and I got called Mr. Miyagi by one of the students. So I don't know if that was a compliment, Troy, or what that was.
I did have another one.
Okay.
There was a boy right in the beginning of the class, and there was a boy, and I was walking around, and he stopped me, and he said, Mrs. Andrews, are you Greek? And I said, no, I'm not Greek, but I can have somebody come to you. And I called Kathy Karabetsis, and she came right over, and they had a nice, friendly talk. So that was great.
So we have 6-piece tools that we teach 4-piece learning circles, a peace breath, an I message, rephrase, peace apology, ready, set, go, and peace moves. Who would like to talk about a peace breath? How do we do that?
I can talk about peace breath.
Okay.
Usually I explain children that I'm going to count to 5, and you will have to inhale the air, then I'm going to hold it for a few seconds, 3 or 4 seconds, and then you will have to breathe out to exhale. Mm-hmm. And while I do that, I usually tell them, relax, think about something nice, something what makes you very happy in your life. Think about maybe an amazing place where you would like to be right now. Close your eyes, and then I count to 5. I tell them to inhale, hold, and exhale the air.
Mm-hmm. So we're teaching students how to take peace breaths when they're in stressful situations or when somebody commits a foul against them. So that's excellent. That's our peace breath.
And I also would like to say that I always remind myself and my friends when we are irritated to take a peace breath.
Yes. The kids, they're starting to get the habit. We're developing habits. Terry?
Well, I was going to mention just the other day in one of our peace circle lessons, a couple of kids came in and one boy was hollering at another boy or calling him names. And we went right into the peace breath. And the boy who was being hollered at understood, oh, and he all of a sudden started smiling and didn't care about the other boy and what he was saying. So it did work. It helped.
We have a trick that we use with magic balloons. So we have the kids help us blow up a balloon. And this is what happens when you don't take a peace breath and somebody teases you or commits a foul and you lose it. And we have a needle and we puncture the balloon and it explodes. So we do it again. Same bag, same kind of balloon. Kids pick it out. Some of the kids are helping us blow it up and tying the balloon. It's a pretty intricate process. So everybody take a peace breath. Everybody does. We have the needle. This is what happens when you let the foul just go through you. So the needle punctures the balloon, but it doesn't pop the balloon. And then the needle keeps going straight through the balloon and out the other side, and I'm bouncing the balloon up and down. This is what happens. You let the foul just go through you. And so the kids have to figure out how you did the trick. Well, kids are pretty smart. So the trick is I can't drink coffee on the days that I do that because there's a spot on the balloon on either side that's extra thick, polyethylene or whatever you call it. It's like tire sealant, you know. So, but I have to hit the spot. If I miss the spot, the trick doesn't work because I pop the balloon. But it's a visual kind of thing, strategy to show kids about teasing and preventing bullying. And I tell the story of when I was growing up, I played football for Marquette High School, and I would come home just beat up. Full of bruises, full of cuts, bandages. Finally, sophomore year, my mother said, that's it. You're not doing this anymore. Look at you. You look like Beetle Bailey after the Sarge beat him up in the comic strips. So I had to do something in the fall, and I ran cross country and went out for the long distance runners. And you have to remember back in the 60s, there weren't very many long distance runners. It wasn't popular. It was just a number of us, you know, that at Marquette High. So we ran the course to either 2.2 miles or 3 miles, and we'd have to run past the football field to continue on with our trek. get teased all the time. Cross country, that's a sissy sport. You guys are a bunch of sissies, you know, boo. And I would really let it get to me until our coach, who was a Jesuit, Father Marvin Venz, would take us aside and said, let it go. Take a peace breath. He didn't call it a peace breath in those days, but we learned how to breathe because you can become a better long-distance runner. It's all about your lungs and your lung power and building up your lung capacity. And so that's what we were doing. And so we ended up winning the championship and breaking some records. But we learned, you know, we were representing Marquette High. So why are you guys teasing us or picking on us? So I think you come from a place people ask, so why are you doing this? Well, if you were bullied growing up or teased growing up, you want to teach the skills that you learned to others. So that's not going to happen. Was there a time, Terry, in growing up when you felt like you were being bullied or teased?
Absolutely. I'm overweight, so definitely people would tease me. I remember I was in love in my younger grades, you know, the kind of love that you just care about somebody. And my friend and I were walking around, and, oh, there is my love. And we were going to walk by and say hi, and I had a big smile on my face. And he said, hi, Butterball. Well, that name kind of sounds round and fully packed, and that was me. And, yeah, that hurt, and the message is still with me today, and that was, how many years ago?
Yeah.
So.
How about Deanna?
I was teased because of my last name, because Latvian and Russian last names has a meaning of something. For example, my maiden last name, Vinogradova, means vineyard, grapes. And children would just call me grape, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like when you're younger in elementary school, they try to find something to pick up on you, and they would name call you.
Okay.
That's what I had to go through.
Wow. So everybody, we always ask the question in cultural competency training is, when was the first time you felt different? When was the first time you felt different? We all feel different in some way, you know? I got teased in Milwaukee, I think the first time, because of my last name. And it's Italian. There weren't very many Italian families on the south side of Milwaukee when I was growing up. And we actually changed our name from Mangiara Siana to Mangi because it was too many letters and people were just, you couldn't fill out forms.
So you're saying your last name was Mangiara Siana?
Mangiara Siana.
It's very close to my new last name.
Yes, it is. It is. So we changed it to Mangi. We were going to change it to Martin. But at the time, the number one TV show on television was Elliot Ness and the Untouchables. Every single week, the bad guys were Italian. So it was, we were considered to be mafia. If you were Italian, you belonged to the mafia. I mean, everybody thought that. Other students, teachers, priests, really? So we sat around the dining room table, my two brothers, my sister, myself, my mom and dad, and we came this close to changing our name to Martin because of all of the prejudice for being Italian. You were assumed that you were a gangster. I mean, I was shy and quiet in high school and college, and I had a tough time. Girls would ask me my last name, and a lot of girls would just turn around and walk away and go, oh, you know, he's a mobster. So it was up until I went into the Peace Corps in Iran, and we weren't allowed to use our last names because, like you said, Deanna, it carries a meaning.
Yeah.
So Vinogradova, is that your maiden name?
Yes, correct.
And so that means what?
Vine, grapes, vineyard.
Okay.
It's all connected to wine.
Sure. So I need to do a commercial. We're coming to the end. WGTD 91.1 HD Gateway Radio. Thanks to Troy McDonald, who runs this. and to everybody that allows us to be on Education Matters. Okay, we did one piece tool, iMessage. What's an iMessage?
Well, an iMessage is just like it says. It's I. It's not you did this and you did that. It's I, and how do I feel about something that you did? I feel sad that you keep talking when I'm trying to talk. What do I want done about that? I would like you not to talk when I'm talking, please. This should convey a message to the person we're talking to. We're not trying to be mean to the person. We're just telling them how we feel when they're doing something that bothers us.
So it flips. So if I'm talking to you, Terry, I don't go, you did this. You forgot me the other day and missed me in the lesson. You. I never say you. I say, I felt bad because
Absolutely.
I was forgotten. I never even used the word you. So that's an I message, everybody. Maybe it'll help with conflict resolution at home.
Well, the big thing is, using the I message, you have to make sure the other person hears you and understands what you're doing.
Yes.
And that would be a rephrase. Rephrase means the other person repeats what you said. For example, Joe, I feel sad when you interrupt me when I'm talking. I wish you wouldn't do that because it's very hard to talk. And you would say,
I accept that. I agree with you. I will do better, and I will be a better listener.
Okay. And, Joe is repeating somewhat of the things I said.
Mm-hmm.
And to make sure that he continues comes the third part of that section,
mm-hmm.
which is peace apology.
Okay, and it's kind of like rephrasing, are you saying? So the issue, though, is this happens to me all the time with family members. I get cut off before I even get three words out of my mouth. So you have to have two people who are willing to listen. So the peace apology is, I'm sorry. Just say, I'm sorry if you messed up.
And what are you sorry for?
Yeah. So ready, set, go. That means you need a third person to come in and...
Right. It's a big problem. And that's what we try to do to the fourth graders. The fourth graders are going to be the top in the school next year.
Mm-hmm.
And we want them to learn how to become the mediators, to talk to two people. And when they're talking to two people, they're not trying to settle the problem. They're trying to let the two people settle their problem and understand that something went wrong.
So we're teaching students skills of when they see a conflict on how to break it up and how to mediate instead of going fight, and being part of the crowd that is looking for action. So the last one is a peace move. And if somebody approaches you in a mean-spirited way, we teach kids to take a step back and hold their hands up like Wonder Woman and say, I don't want to fight you. Why are you angry? So you always take a step back. You never front a person. Standing behind them is not a good thing because they can't see you. If you're a friend, you always walk alongside someone, to the right or to the left. As principal at Bradford, if a student was angry and I was called to the corridor or wherever it was, I never got in that student's face, never. I always walked up alongside of them in a non-threatening way. I'm with you. Let's go somewhere and sit down and talk. So we have about 1 minute to go, right? And so thank you so much to Terry Andrews.
Well, you're welcome,
and
Joe.
Deanna Rossina, two of our great teachers from Peace Learning Circles. If you'd like to learn more, it's josephmangi@hotmail.com. We do have a Facebook page, Peace Learning Circles. We do have a website. We need more teachers. Because the demand is so great, which is a really good thing.
And don't ever feel strange about it, because there's always training if you'd like training.
Mm-hmm. So we'd like to thank Troy McDonald for being our host today.
Thank you, Troy.
And practice peace, everyone. Look for ways to have peace strategies and find good in the community. Thank you so much for listening. You've been great listeners. And remember what we said earlier. Listening is a form of loving. So love those around you by being better listeners.
And peace begins with a smile.
There you go. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org. And you're invited to continue the discussion on the education